Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of What Are You Talking About? Today I'm joined by Zane Healy, one of the best up-and-coming athletes in the Oceania region. Although he has recently undergone surgery for an injury, it did not stop us from talking about all the things he's achieved so far in his career and what's to come. We chat about how he got into CrossFit, how recovery is currently going, his semi-final experiences, and his plans for the CrossFit season in 2025. A big shout out to one of our partners, Thirdsy, who are always supporting this podcast. If you want to sleep better with the best recovery collagen in the game, head over to thirdsy.com and use the code WODSLEEPER for an extra bit of money off. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to be the first to hear all about our new episodes and content. Enjoy! Zane, thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you going?
Yeah, very, very well, thank you. I feel like I need to start with just kind of saying how are you, because obviously a few weeks ago you had an injury and you've had surgery and now we know what the season looks like, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but a bit of a hard time of year, I suppose, to be in that situation. So, firstly, for anyone who maybe doesn't follow you or doesn't know what happened, do you want to just give a little bit of insight into what happened?
Yeah, for sure. It would probably be like 8 weeks ago now. I was probably like 10 days out from down under, kind of hitting like our last, peak week almost. And was just doing some, you know, normal accessories with a weights vest, doing some dips, and came down around like my fifth set out of 10 and tore my pec. So basically knew pretty much straight away and just kind of dropped from the rings and was kind of in disbelief a little bit, being so close to coming up to down under. But kind of got a referral for an MRI basically for the next day through my physio, and then got into surgery, you know, less than a week later. So I happened on the Tuesday, got in on the next Monday. So it's been 7 weeks today since I've had the surgery. So it hasn't been too long, but it moves slow time when you can't train to your full capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, how hard is it? Because I've never had an injury that has resulted in surgery, but I think no matter what level you're at in CrossFit, there's sometimes something happens and, as you say, you just know, and it just kind of hits straight away. Obviously you had down under, and I know you had a couple of other things booked. We're nearing the 2025 season. But how did it feel? Sorry to start on like a bit of a negative note.
I haven't really spoke about it with many people anyway, apart from those that are like directly surrounding me. It was just like surreal. I had a knee reconstruction before I started CrossFit, which basically led me into starting CrossFit. But apart from that, like throughout the 4 years or 3.5 years that I've been, you know, in the sport, I haven't really had any injuries. I take better care of my body than basically anybody I know. Like, I'm super rigorous with everything I do, and it just shows that even the the best people at recovery or anything, it can happen to anyone. So not to take anything for granted. It was definitely a shock. But I kind of just have to, you know, try and get past that as quick as I could, because I knew there wasn't really much I could do about it apart from just getting the surgery. And then just trying to start, you know, rehab as soon as I could was basically what was all on my mind. As soon as I could get back to training is when I want to get back to training. So.
For sure. And how is rehab going? How are you feeling, like, overall? Rest of the body?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, the rest of the body is really good. So it's given me an opportunity to get, you know, a lot more work through my legs, and just been absolutely smashing them for the last 6 weeks. I've been out of the sling now for 2 weeks, so I'm getting a lot more mobilization and, you know, range of motion through that. And then I actually start hydro tonight. So after I'm finished up at the gym here, I'll go hop in the pool and get a little bit of work through on that. But yeah, as I'm slowly getting more and more load through the pec and through the shoulder, so that's kind of the main thing.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad it's a positive recovery for you. And you've given me a little bit of a good segue speaking about the knee construction, because one of the places I really like to start when I talk to anyone is, what did your journey into CrossFit look like? And I'm assuming yours kind of that was a bit of a segue into it, was it? The having the knee construction. So what was your first experience with CrossFit?
So I had done my coming out of school, I did my Cert 3 and 4 in fitness, and basically just fell into working at a CrossFit gym. Basically, one of my good friends, his mate had just opened up a gym, not too far from me, and needed, a new coach. And I had known about CrossFit, but hadn't, really delved into it too much. So I kind of had a chat with him, and he paid for my level one, and then basically got straight into it. So yeah, working at the CrossFit gym before I'd actually even started CrossFit, I was like, I'm never going to do this sport, but I'm really interested in coaching it and learning about it. So that was kind of where my, journey into the sport and understanding it was. But then it wasn't until January of 2021 that I actually started. So I'd been coaching for nearly 2 years at that point. And then after I had my knee surgery, probably 6 months after that, I decided to step away from my previous sport and just kind of dive into training the CrossFit methodology.
How do you like I because that's the first time I think I've ever met someone that coaches CrossFit and haven't done it. And it's quite rare to hear, and particularly the way CrossFit is, in that everyone tries to get everyone in. How did you find that balance of coaching it but not doing it?
So it was more just making sure that I did a lot of upskilling with the owner of the gym to make sure that I could teach the movements correctly. If there was like a snatch or a clean, I wasn't necessarily coaching that straight away until I'd kind of learned that a little bit more. I'd more coach the classes that were a little bit more of that conventional lifting style. I'd had years and years and years of like gym training experience and athletic experience in that way, so I understood what it took to kind of be a coach and how to coach. It was just kind of learning the movements and everything and how to instruct and how to coach that before actually moving into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's strange that you say kind of 2021, because when you say 3.5 years, as someone who follows the sport, it feels like you've been doing it a lot longer. It feels like we've known your name for a lot longer in the sport. And I never know if this is kind of like a COVID thing, that the last few years have just all happened very, very quickly. But does it feel like you've been doing it for longer than you have?
Yes and no. In a way, like I've achieved things that, I never thought that I would be able to achieve in a way, or didn't think were like possible, but then also haven't hit the markers or the goals that I really want to hit as well. But I know for how long I've been in the sport and how much I've progressed over that time. It's like I've overtaken guys, or when I was healthy at least, I can't really speak for it right now, but have gone past people who I was only watching on the floor a few years prior, and then being in that, on the floor at Torin with them, just kind of looking next to them. It's like, oh, well, I'm against you now, so you're not really any different to me. Yeah, it's been a little bit surreal, but when you're in it doing it every day, time moves really quick because you're doing the same stuff. But also when you look back, you're like, far out, I actually haven't been doing it for that long, even though it feels like a long time. So yeah.
Yeah, and I think something I've noticed in the kind of the progress of CrossFit, I suppose, over the years, is people are qualifying for like the games and semis a lot quicker now, in a weird way. Some people aren't, but we'd be used to it, I don't know, maybe 5, 10 years ago, watching people at regionals year on year on year on year before they got to the games. And I think maybe that time is shortening a bit now. So do you kind of feel that pressure because you're seeing people that you're maybe competing up against qualify, or does it not really correlate that much?
I think where we're seeing people kind of jump into the game spots quicker are probably in the more prominent regions, like like your North America, like your regions over in the US, and then Europe, just purely because I feel like there's just more spots over there.
For sure.
So these guys who might be in the the same boat as me, have only come in like 4 or 5 years ago, started this. There's just more opportunities, and it just might be like one weekend just really suits their skill set, and they're just able to nab one of those spots. Whereas with like the Oceania region, I can't really say for the Asia regions and stuff because I don't think they're as strong, but just with Oceania, The top three are like the top three basically at the moment. And it's kind of now, well, we had that four spot last year. It's these younger guys that are kind of really just fighting for that spot. And it doesn't really matter how long you've been doing it. Out of those guys that are trying to fight for that fourth, I'm probably the one that's the newest to the sport. So it's trying to hold up with those guys that have just, you know, been doing it for years and years. But no, I don't think there's any pressure on that in that way. I feel like if you make the games, you make the games now. It's like, it's still a massive achievement. Not sure how it'll look like next year, but yeah.
Of course, yeah. And I, for anyone, if anyone's a regular listener to this podcast, they will know that I am, it annoys me so much that Oceania only get 3/4 sports. And I know how that there's a way they work it, but every year it kind of seems quite unfair watching. And I think particularly since the semi-finals have had the same workouts across the regions, it's quite hard to watch. So I can imagine for you, it's quite frustrating as well, to a degree. I'm curious to know, as you say, like, obviously you're one of the newest to the sport. How, when you obviously were coaching and then you started kind of doing the methodology, at what point did you think, right, okay, I can take this seriously now. I want to go to the next level. I want to go to semis, etc.
Like pretty much from day one, like it gives me like goosebumps thinking about it like now. But basically the first like 2 or 3 months that I started it, I basically started it like January 1st. Like as soon as the classes came back after the new year, I started basically just doing back-to-back classes. So like one of the classes I would do the strength part of the workout and then the workout of the day. And then I would follow it up and do another class, but I would do like the conditioning side and then the workout of the day as well. So I kind of just thrust myself straight into it. And then on other days that I wasn't doing the classes, I would just write my own stuff from CrossFit.com or just look up my own workouts. And then probably like 3 or 4 months in, I was like, right, I want to start a program, and basically just jumped on the proven compete track or whatever it was at the time. And yeah, it was basically just like, now I look back on it, I was doing like the whole day in like one session, which was like 4 hours of training, but like in one session. So like I wasn't necessarily getting heaps of intensity out of every piece, but I was just so in love with doing everything and just so like wanting to do it that I just kind of like jumped straight in. The first year I started in 2021, I went and actually watched Torian. I just flew over to Brisbane. I just flew over to Brisbane, just went and watched it myself for the weekend. And I was just like, I want to see what's going on. And, you know, watching it that first year, it was super daunting. And I was like, man, these guys are like ridiculous. I can't lift half of these weights. I'm pretty sure they have like a clean and jerk ladder. And I was like, their opening weight is more than I can clean and jerk right now. Like, how am I going to get to that? But yeah, I basically just jumped straight into it, and I knew where I wanted to be. Basically, the second I kind of started it, and then it changed a little bit down the track when I met Grace. But yeah, basically from day one, I knew that I wanted to try and make it to at least semis.
Mm-hmm. And again, people are probably sick of me saying it, but Torian as well is one of these events that it's not just a semi-final. Like, it's such a huge event in the calendar, and it's obviously been going for more than semis, because we all know that changes a lot. So
yeah,
again, knowing that there's quite a small amount of spots that go from Torian to kind of qualify onto the games, is it quite nice in a sense that Torian's a big goal? Does that kind of make sense what I mean, in that it's such a huge event in itself, you almost want to go just for that?
Yeah, in a way, like the first year, yeah, definitely like getting on the floor, because I'd made Down Under the previous year as like my first big national comp, and then I'd made it to Torian. So it was kind of just soaking it up that first year. And then going into last year, I was like, this year, all right, it goes quick. I was kind of unsure where I was, but then was just gaining more confidence with each day that I was progressing in the comp. Torian itself is just like something that I don't think people will really understand until they come over here. Like, I know we had the Buttery Bros here in 23, but I don't think apart from that we've had any real international like media guys come over, like Brian or anyone like that. Like the Savan guys, for example, haven't flown over here. So I think it probably is understood how good the event is, but until you're actually there, you don't realize how good the event is. So yeah, I think it is a big goal to get there the first time, but then once you're there the first time, if you have bigger goals, it's like, I want to just get to that next stage. you know, it's always the one thing after the other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. Like, I think I've never been, but I have said year on year, I'd rather go to Torian than the Games. So if anyone's listening and wants to help me out. But it seems like it's so much more than just a semi-final, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. And particularly going in that first year, after, was it quite, I suppose it was probably quite quite bittersweet in a way, from watching you in the crowds the kind of previous year, knowing that you couldn't clean and jerk what they were doing, and then competing on the floor. And again, with the Oceania community being, like, we see quite a few of the same names year on year, which is great in so many ways. Was it quite surreal being on the floor with them people?
Yeah, well, the first event, I actually don't know how, but I qualified in sixth. Like, my first semis in 2023, it was just the events were really good for me, quarters. So the first event, I was out on the floor with, you know, Jay and Bailey and a few guys from, a guy from Perth, John Champion, who was in the field at the time. And then actually ended up winning the top heat for my first event. So it was a pretty surreal experience, like jumping in, kind of diving in head first. But I feel like with that event and the kind of the flow of it with the machines and the sled pull and stuff, it kind of was a really good way to introduce myself into the comp. There wasn't a heap of pressure on me. It was kind of an event that I knew that I would really like. But yeah, that first year, like hopping out, you're definitely like, wow, like this is crazy. Like, you look around, you're just trying to soak it all in. So yeah, it was an amazing experience. Like, Torian is something like that not a lot of people will experience in their time. And I feel like if you have the chance to come over here, you 100% should. It's something like a Wannapalooza or something. It's something that isn't just like a black and white CrossFit comp. It's so much more than that. It feels like so much more than that when you're out there, especially in throughout the weekend, the events that they put on and the messages that they send as a community. I think it's really special.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, coming off of your first Torian, as you say, there's not a ton of pressure, even though you qualify in sixth. Like, you'd almost think that you'd put some pressure on yourself. But does that increase the, maybe not the pressure, but the goal for the following year, like coming out of semis and going, right, I've done it once, I've had my kind of rookie year at semis, I'm going to go into kind of full, I don't know, games mode or whatever it may be. Was that kind of the goal for this year?
Yeah, this year, like, as I said, I was unsure where I was at. And then the first kind of, after the first day, 2 days, myself, Peter, and Luke were all within probably, you know, 5 points of each other for that fourth spot. And going in, 10 points. So going into that last day, I knew that some events were good for me, some weren't as good for me. And I knew it was going to be like just an absolute dogfight. So after the snapshot of going into the last event, I was still only like 15 points or 20 points behind Luke and Peter, who were tied. So I knew that I probably wasn't going to grab that spot. And then there was just a bit of a miscommunication with the judge and things going into the last event that just made me fall back overall in the placings. But I think going into after the first 2 days, I was like, right, I really do belong here and I really do want this game spot more than I probably thought I did. The previous year, Grace had missed out on the games by, you know, a handful of points just because she failed one legless rope climb basically in an event. So it was kind of like that was her silver lining and her kind of like turning point. So I really felt like what happened to me this year was kind of like shook me up a little bit and gave me the same kind of fire that I needed that Grace had experienced the last year. And she knew exactly what she'd gone through. So she knew how I was feeling and she was really able to be there. And she was like, this is just what you need. Like, you always need that one crappy thing to happen to you or that one bad event to happen to you to kind of turn everything around. So yeah, like coming into this 2025 season, I was so ready for Down Under, and it sucks that this injury happened, but I'm trying my absolute best now to get back, you know, for whatever the season might look like and give my best performance that I can.
Yeah, no, of course. And I think you're right. So many people, you know, I've done so many episodes of this now and almost every single person that I've spoken to has had that, you know, they've had this moment and have gone, right, that needed to happen for me to then be at my best. And as you say, you know, it's ironic that we're talking now and you're out of surgery, but maybe that's why, you know, there's so many things around it. And I want to touch briefly, because obviously, so great for anyone who doesn't know, Grace Watson, who qualified this year and had such a, and it's really hard to even say this, but she did have such an incredible weekend at the Games. And of course, it was super tarnished by everything else that happened. I know you were there. I want to really quickly touch on it, because do you think, and I don't know how to say this right, but hopefully it'll, everyone,
I don't think there's a right way to say anything about what happened this year. Yeah, you just have to speak about it. Yeah.
Are you almost, is there a part of you that's glad that that wasn't your rookie year?
Not in any way, shape or form. I feel like what happened was like absolutely terrible. And I don't think there was, you know, anyone can predict that or anyone. I have my own, you know, opinions on what happened. And the thing, I think making the Games is a privilege on its own, and getting to be there, you have to try and soak up the atmosphere. And coming out of Australia, we didn't directly know them. Kiefer, our coach, was quite close with Luca. So obviously the brother of Lazar. So I feel like they would have affected us more in that way, that our friend was so close to them. But I feel like if you qualify for the Games, that you deserve to be there. And if you decide to compete and you didn't pull out, well, it's like, okay, you've decided to compete. You just want to put your best foot forward. So it wasn't my year though. You know, Peter deserved that. And the boys that, you know, made it and decided to compete deserve that. So I don't want to take anything away from them. But yeah, I think if you make the Games, it's a privilege on its own. So yeah, I think if I had made it, you know, hypothetically, that you still go in with the same kind of attitude as if nothing did happen, because you've worked so hard to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I can imagine, you know, it was, you were there for as support and for Grace, and it's, as you say, there's no right way to talk about it, because everyone has their own experience there. Whether, I think for the people that were there, it was obviously a lot harder, but even from afar, you know, everyone's going to look at that weekend differently. So no, I appreciate you saying that. You are the first person I've spoken to on a podcast since the new season has been released a few days ago. Yeah. I want to get your kind of first, like, as soon as you saw it, what was your initial reaction?
Disappointing. I feel disappointed in a way, because it's just so, it's still unsure. Like, I know they've released a lot, but there's so much stuff they haven't released yet. Mm-hmm. So they say that there's the semifinals online, but then we're unsure how many go from the semis online to the Games, and then how many kind of come out of each of these regional style competitions. And we don't even know what regional style competitions, we don't even know what is happening. I've heard from sources that CrossFit basically told the guys at Taurine that Taurine wasn't going to happen. But things can change, I guess. So that's kind of what I've heard in terms of Oceania. Down Under's obviously already happened, so there's not going to be another one of them. They can't repeat that. So in terms of what we're looking at, like, it's still so unsure. Like, now it's only 30 guys in the field, so I assume our spots comes down to 3 again. And again, they haven't even said how many people from each region come out, get to go to the Games. So yeah, confusing is kind of where I would put it. Like I'm happy that they've at least said something, but also super unhappy with how they said it, because they released half of the information. Like, if you're going to release something, release it all, so we can kind of know what the next step is. So yeah, I guess you just have to wait and see for the next step, and just kind of treat it as if the season was going ahead normally, because you can't wait for CrossFit to kind of come out and say anything. You just have to continue to do what you're going to do. And I kind of said that to Grace. I was like, we don't have to worry about anything else. Just imagine you're still training for Taurine. Imagine you're still training for the Games, kind of thing. We're not changing anything. Yeah, you can only do what you can do with the knowledge that you have. So
yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious to know, coming off the back of last season and then obviously being injured and having surgery, did you have any, was there any doubt on, I suppose, from a personal perspective, but also from a kind of physical, like, injury perspective, was there any doubt that you weren't going to partake in the 2025 season at all at any point?
I was always going to be, you know, competing in this next season. I've we've put in so much work, and what happened was like really, really weird and strange. But the way that Grace and I saw it, well, I can't exactly speak for her, but I feel like a lot of people were blamed, and it's a really hard situation to kind of, you know, get a hold of. Because we were there as well, it was a lot closer to us. But in terms of coming into this next season, I think we're always going to compete, whether or not anything came out, what we're unsure of. So,
yeah. And then obviously with the injury, was that kind of, I know obviously you missed out on Down Under, which is such a shame. Because yeah. Again, it's another competition that just looks like such fun and again, more than it is. But it's never a good time to get injured, I suppose. But obviously it being the back end of this year and the season nearing, is this your goal now? Just get yourself back and ready for... I mean, I'm going to have to say the Open now, because I think also last year there was very little pressure on the Open because there were so many spots, you know, so many people went through for quarters. But actually now this year, there's that pressure a little bit on the Open again.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was the fittest I'd been, and probably just like the body and everything and how I was feeling going to Down Under. Like I was really ready to kind of take it. Like I'd finished second last year, and I was, I know Peter had some time off after the games. I knew there was a few young boys going, but I was really just getting prepped just to really go head to head with, you know, I know Luke wasn't doing it. Luke pulled out, but I was really looking forward to going head with Peter and Ben. Like that's who I wanted to go against. And Royce were kind of like the three guys where I was like, all right, my goal going into this is to like try and win this thing. So it was super disappointing with that. And then, you know, I wanted to try and qualify for Waterpalooza as well. And then I was thinking about doing Dubai. I'd actually done the first workout of Dubai was the day I tore my pec. I did the first workout that morning, and then in the afternoon I did that session. So yeah, it was weird because you're like already starting that next chapter and then getting ready for Down Under. But yeah, I guess I'd have to try and be ready for the Open. I can't say whether or not I'm going to be ready for the Open. I'm unsure of that. Basically, the Open is going to be probably like my first test, because I'm only really allowed to start building weight after one more month from now. So I've still got another month of lifting less than 5 kilos on my injured side, and then I can kind of try and progress for the 2.5 months and just hope that there isn't anything too heavy or too, you know, chest involved in the Open. And then if I can get through the Open, then I'll be happy to do semis like online and try and do that. But yeah, that's just my goal, is trying to just take it like one day at a time. It's a cliche, but with an injury, you basically have to. I'd rather be ready for 2026 than have another injury in 2025, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And you know, funnily enough, one of the conversations of doing this podcast that sticks out to me the most is I remember asking Grace what her goal was for the year at the beginning, and we spoke nearly a year ago now, and she said to be like to be healthy and to you know, to not ruin one season and then if it has to sacrifice one season to not ruin the next. And I was like, yeah,
for sure.
You're so right. And I think so many people, it's really tough with CrossFit because it's so much lies on 2 weekends of the year, 3 weekends of the year. But yeah, you've got to be healthy and do what's right for you. But
yeah. I know if I can't partake in the season, I've got, you know, next goal. So the next Down Under will be like the thing that I'll be like super looking forward to, because I would have basically had like a training camp for an extra 6 months rather than all these guys who might have, you know, made the games or, you know, had some time off and stuff. So if one thing doesn't happen, the next thing will be there for me. So I'm not too worried.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that I think, not that, you know, maybe some good will come out of the last season, but it seems that all of these kind of other kind of off-season comps like Down Under or Rogue or Waterpalooza, I think there's just going to be more eyes on them, more, you know, whether it be they change up the qualifying systems or things. But does that kind of excite you as well, that there'll be more opportunities outside of the kind of traditional season as well?
Yeah, for sure. Like, trying to qualify for Wanderpalooza after watching Grace there last year was like a massive goal this year, and trying to get into those off-season comps, even like some of the Crash Crucible, like that's a comp that I would absolutely love to be a part of one day, whether I know that's just shortly after the games, whether Grace makes the games and we stay for a little bit after, and that can be kind of my first one if you know, the injury is okay by then, which I'm assuming it will be. But yeah, I think just looking at like all of these off-season ones is just like really exciting now. There's just so many. And then with the stuff that Will Morad's put out, obviously a little bit unsure on what that stuff is. But yeah, I feel like there's just going to be more and more opportunities for athletes to not just have to worry about the semifinal and the games. Obviously the games is the pinnacle for a lot of people, and having that title is a massive thing going there. But I think being able to showcase your sponsors and just being able to compete against really good athletes is also what people don't take for granted, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I want to be able to compete against the best people, whether that be at the games, whether that be at another competition. It's still just as good. So that's how I look at it.
Mm. And I think, do you agree that, again, like, the Oceania region is obviously so good, and there's a lot of guys, as you say, you know, you wanted to go against like Peter at Down Under and all these things, but actually taking it, you know, whether it be in the States or, you know, Rogue, which is now in the UK, which is great for me anyway, but taking it kind of further afield, is that something that you are really hoping to do as well? Because it just widens the field, right? And widens the people that you get to compete against.
Yeah, and I think the more competition experience you have, like, there's no downside to it. Competing against better people than, you know, the guys in Oceania, like, around where I am in that kind of, like, 4 to 6, 4 to 8 range, like, we're really good, but we're probably still behind the eight ball a little bit in terms of, like, the guys that are 10, like, 8 to 12 in Europe, 8 to 15 in Europe. They're very good athletes, and 8 to 15 in America. So if we get to have the chance to go up against guys like that, in out-of-season comps on their kind of home turf in the US or whatever, and getting that opportunity, I think it only helps you for when you get to go against the guys that are back in your region as well, because you've just had a different experience. So, yeah, I think looking to broaden the horizon a little bit in 2025, both Grace and myself definitely will look for a few opportunities after she had a little bit of time off after the games.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be an interesting year. I think the one thing that won't change, hopefully, is the community spirit and everyone supporting everyone. But we absolutely will be cheering you on for hopefully Torian. I really, really hope Torian goes ahead.
I'm hoping that they put on an event of some sort over there, because I think not having one in Oceania and Australia would just be like absolute disservice to everyone over here. I know that Jono and Mike would 100% want to put something on, because I already know like Belgrade and a few of the other ones are going to be happening. So, yeah, I think they'll do everything in their power, and just hopefully we can get something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I know she doesn't compete in the Oceania region, but I'm like, guys, literally the fittest of all time is from the Oceania region. Come on, give them some credit. But as I say, it'll be a shame, but I really hope something happens. For you guys, but also I think for the whole community as well, because I know it's a massive, massive part of the season. But as I say, we will be cheering you on whatever happens. I can't let you go without asking you some quick fire questions, which are never that quick.
Sure.
Can I ask you your favorite lift?
My favorite lift, I'd probably say like the bench press, but like it's not looking great at the moment. Hey,
bad timing to say like bench press.
Yeah, like a bench press or like an overhead squat. I would say I just have like a good stacked overhead position, and I was really trying to translate that into my snatch. But yeah, I feel like that overhead position in the overhead squat will be something that I'll be really excited to kind of get back once I can start lifting heavy again.
Yeah, for sure. What about your favorite overall movement?
I think like a bar muscle up or like a handstand walk. I feel like my gymnastics capacity is just like had taken another level again before the injury, and just being able to kind of put things under like immense fatigue. Like when you're really struggling, I really just like being able to have workouts that you have to try and, you know, push yourself and kick up that when you don't want to, or hold on to the bar for the bar muscle ups when you don't want to. So I feel like any like high end gymnastics movement is probably up there for me.
Nice. Your favorite benchmark WOD?
Far out. That's a really hard one. Hey, I haven't done one in so long.
I know people don't do them that much anymore.
Yeah, I really like Linda. So 10-to-1 deadlift, dumbbell bench press, and squat cleans. We did that at semis in 2023, and I like the different take with the dumbbells. But that was like a really fun workout to do. I probably haven't done heaps, like apart from the, you know, just one movement ones like Isabel or Grace. But yeah, I think something that's a little bit different, like Linda, well, that was really fun.
Nice. And my final question for you, which hopefully won't be too difficult, although it stumps everyone. If you were to go to the games on a dream team, who would you take with you?
I'm taking Grace. so that's something like we've spoken about, like even in the future, like something that we'd love to do is like team up one day. We don't know when, like obviously I want both of us to try and her to have a super successful individual and myself try and push in. But yeah, definitely probably Grace. Then I can't really leave our mate Ricky out. So I mean, he's basically just like one of the fittest men in the world, and I feel like the link up and the sync we kind of have had when we train with him is really good. So I'd probably say Rick. And then I'm just trying to think of a girl. Grace, Ricky, far out. Yeah, I think you've stumped me on this one.
Always stumps people. Always.
It's hard because I like just want someone that like Grace would really enjoy. I know Grace really enjoyed working out with actually, you know what, Kyra. Yeah, so Kyra, our good friend. So she's like amazing at like her power output, in like her legs. And then her gymnastics is just crazy, and I feel like she would just bring a lot. I feel like she's almost the opposite to Grace and a little bit. Grace is good at some things that Kara's not good at. Kara's good at things that Grace is not amazing at. And then I feel like me and Ricky kind of a little bit of middle ground. Obviously, he's much better than I am, but kind of similar in that aspect.
And Kara has got a lot of team experience too.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. She smoked it with Mayhem that year, but I think she's trying to forge her own path now, which is cool.
Absolutely. So to clarify again, I just always assume that people are going to know who we're talking about, but Ricky Grard and Kara Milligan, who I know you've trained with her a lot as well because of Kiefer as well, your coach. So that'd be a pretty good team. I'd put money on that team.
Yeah, we'll be definitely looking forward to heading back over to the US this year, whether it be for the games or something else. We'll definitely head over to the Nashville Proven headquarters, and Kiefer and Kara just moved over there, so we definitely have to link up a trip pretty soon.
Amazing. Well, Zane, as I say, we'll be cheering you on whatever the season looks like for you. But thank you so much for chatting. And I appreciate also chatting when you don't really know what everything's looking like. I appreciate you taking the time. So thank you so much and good luck.
No worries. Perfect. Thank you for having me. Hope I'll be out there a bit sooner than expected.